buying a home. It's the single biggest investment a family will make and critical for entering the middle class. But it's also a place where the racial wealth gap is obvious.
And so I brought some more numbers about that.
Latino USA producer Julia Hsu.
So almost 3/4 of white families own a home, but for Latinos, it's less than half. But home ownership is more than just a financial investment. It's an emotional realization of the American dream, something that you can touch and say, this is mine.
Oh, Mike, I want that house so much.
You got it.
Bella's very excited owning a piece of America. Me being a foreigner, being in this country, my main goal is to try to have something that's my own that I could pass on to my kids. White picket fence, you know.
This is Lisa Blades. Lisa has been a cab driver for 6 or 7 years. She's originally from Belize, but moved to New York when she was a teen, and then Atlanta. Until 2014, she'd been living with family, but eventually she needed to find a space of her own. So she started looking for a home, and she did it during her cab rides.
One of my customers, when I was dropping her home, I saw this huge sign that advertised, I think it was like a 3-bedroom. The price sounded real interesting. It was something that sounded affordable.
The sign had a number for Harbor Portfolio. So she went online, did some research, and ended up calling them. With Harbor, Lisa's real estate shopping experience was a little bit weird. There wasn't an agent showing her around. Instead, she was given passwords for lockboxes at different houses. And then she'd just go let herself in and take a look. She visited 3 homes, and just like the fairy tale, the 3rd one looked just right.
I was pretty excited because the property looked it almost exact as the old house I was living in. It's yellow, white, and black shutters.
But inside, it was a different story.
Stepping into the house, the first thing I could smell is like wet, moldy smell. There were glass all over from the door being broken into. There were leaks on the roof. There were holes on the ceiling.
It was a wreck. The price, though, was right. Harbor said it could be hers for just $365 per month for 30 years. Lisa saw that the master bedroom was livable, and she figured she'd just live in there while fixing up the rest of the house. In fact, repairing the home was a requirement in the contract that she got from Harbor. After signing the paperwork with a notary and sending it back, she got a letter.
Congratulations on purchase of your new home. We look forward to serve you over the coming years.
Lisa moved in at the end of February. Next up, some serious repairs.
First thing is the garage, they had thick carpet, so I had to get that ripped out.
She estimates that since moving in, she's poured $20,000 into the house. But this house was her dream, and what's a little hard work if it means getting to live in your own home? Things were going pretty well until 1 month, she didn't have enough money for the payment.
I received a letter, someone served me an eviction notice.
Normally, if you own a house and can't pay your mortgage, there's a foreclosure process before you lose your home. But this was an eviction, saying Lisa could just get kicked out. She borrowed $2,000 from her family to pay off her overdue payments. It was a narrow escape, and she felt nervous. So when someone dropped off contact information for Atlanta Legal Aid, she decided to investigate.
I called. They explained me more to my contract that I didn't even realize. Ugh, it's just been rough.
What Lisa found out was that she is in a situation called a contract for deed. Key point, she doesn't really own her house, and she doesn't have the mortgage she thought she did. Here's what happened. In a contract for deed, the homebuyer signs a contract with the property owner saying, I'll pay X amount with this interest rate over the next 30 years. But unlike a regular mortgage,
the purchaser of the home doesn't actually get a deed in their name until they pay the full purchase price.
This is Sarah Mancini. She's counsel to the National Consumer Law Center and an expert on home ownership.
And during the time when they're in the contract, they agree to take responsibility for maintaining the property, making repairs, paying homeowners insurance, paying property taxes, but they don't have a deed. And if they miss a single payment at any time, the seller can cancel the contract and evict that person like a tenant.
In other words, there's no bank, no traditional mortgage, no protections for the home buyers. And contract for deed can be misleading because people think they've bought the home, when in fact, they haven't. It's basically like a rent-to-own business, where the company, in this case Harbor, is the true homeowner until Lisa pays enough, technically. But even the official language around this can be confusing. Remember the letter that Harbor had sent?
Congratulations on purchase of your new home.
The history of contracts for deed goes back a long time. According to Sarah, in the 1950s and 60s, contracts for deed were common in Black neighborhoods. It was hard for Black homebuyers to get mortgages because of something called redlining, where banks would literally draw a red line around communities of color and say, "We're not giving mortgages to anyone there." It caused segregation and it prevented Black people from being able to invest in property. So Black homebuyers had to resort to contracts for deed. You didn't have to go through a bank's mortgage approval, and in theory, you would eventually pay off the debt and own the house. In practice, though, it was a predatory system with little regulation. Property companies would specifically target Black neighborhoods since people there couldn't get mortgages. Then, in 1975, in response to redlining, Congress passed the Homeowners Mortgage Disclosure Act. It meant that banks had to make all of their mortgage records public, so everyone can see who gets loans and who doesn't. Redlining and housing discrimination faded, becoming less explicit, and contracts for deed became less common. But something else happened that made contracts for deed come back.
Sharp sell-off in stocks on Wall Street today.
Lehman, bankrupt.
The housing market crash of 2008.
When the foreclosure numbers started to go sky high, that's when there were so many houses that were available to be purchased very cheaply. So as a result, a ton of investors started buying up these properties. And some of those investors had the idea, why don't we sell these houses through contracts for deed?
Harbor was one of the biggest buyers of these cheap foreclosed properties. Instead of repairing the homes, they started advertising them as for sale, just like the signs that Lisa saw. That's another thing that makes contracts for deed beneficial to the companies and expensive for the buyers. The company can buy a rundown house for cheap, but over time, a would-be homebuyer would end up paying way, way more than that initial value because of the many repairs. And like before, contract for deed housing is going to mostly non-white homebuyers. Not only are many of the properties in Black and brown neighborhoods, but there's stories of companies intentionally targeting Latinos because of language barriers or because immigrants might be too scared to complain, like in Albuquerque.
Hano used a one-page contract written in Spanish and a longer contract in English that offered him more protection.
Harbor is facing lawsuits in Atlanta and Cincinnati, plus an investigation from a federal consumer protection agency.
It plans to sue an out-of-state company over predatory land.
This man thought he was a homeowner until he missed some payments. That's when he learned he never signed a mortgage.
We reached out to Harbor for this story, and this is what they said. Quote, Harbor was proud to offer the opportunity for home ownership following the mortgage crises of 2008. The value of homes has increased remarkably across the nation since that time, and our customers have benefited. End quote. But Sarah says this isn't accurate.
If a company like this wanted to increase access to home ownership, this is not the way they would do it. And the way these contracts are written, it is almost built to fail. And there's a certain likelihood that at some point there's going to be a basis to evict someone and have them lose everything they've paid. They're selling it as the American dream, but in reality, it's a mirage.
By now, including taxes, Lisa's paid $15,000 to Harbor, not to mention the $20,000 in repairs. After the 30 years of paying her contract, given interest, she'll have paid well over $94,000. That's if she's not evicted first, which could happen for anything Harbor deems a breach of contract. Not doing enough repairs on the house, not paying the homeowner's insurance, or falling behind on payment. Lisa's heart, though, is still in her home.
I would just like to know that I'm protected and I don't have to go to bed and worry about waking up in the morning and someone from the company just come and tell me I need to move out. My house is my home. In my mind, I expect to live there for the rest of my life until it's time for me to die.
Contracts for deed have been around for a long, long time, and it's not illegal. But it does hit Latino and Black homebuyers really hard. For now, that's just how things work. And maybe if all goes well, Lisa will live in her house for the rest of her life. But for now, she's stuck wondering if she can stay.
Latino USA producer Julia Hsu. Thanks to reporter Kate Osborne for her help with that story.